The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Tokens Radio Show. My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
Wow, it's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. And it's
great. It is.
It's great to be back in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've kind of missed it. Well, we missed Liam last week, but yeah, we were in your stomping grounds, L.A.
You were in L.A.
Yeah, we were.
What did you think?
Well, where we were, everything was really nice.
That's good.
Yeah, because it was like Santa Monica area, so.
Yeah.
We hung out in a hangar.
In a hangar, yeah. And I did, what was it, Lyft or Uber? I've never done that before. That was interesting.
Yeah.
It was fun. I'm glad we were together. Had some very interesting conversations in the cars. Just saying.
The last driver, oh my gosh. It was like, whoops, I'm sorry, as he almost played card tag. I don't know with how many cars.
Yeah, how he missed the rear end of some of them cars,
I don't know.
He was a regular NASCAR driver. Yeah.
That's how you have to be to drive down there.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. Oh, yeah.
It's because of the heavy Bitcoin conversation we were having.
We were doing some traveling.
Oh, my.
But it was fun. It was cold.
A little cold.
But you know what? We found it very surprising is the smog was not bad.
Right.
It was actually clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there wasn't all of those funny, trails in the sky.
Oh, you mean like the ones I saw here the other night that glow at nighttime? I saw one of those. Dan says, no, you're seeing things. It's like, no, it's glowing out there. I'm just saying.
No conspiracy theory here. Oh,
anyhow,
my.
And we'll talk more about L.A. here in a little bit.
Yeah, you bet. Well, this portion of the show is sponsored by Luke Gibson from Gibson Appraisals. In a changing real estate market, you can't take a chance of getting the wrong valuation. Serving Shasta, Siskiyou, and Trinity counties for prompt and accurate appraisals, contact Luke at 530-221-0154. That's 530-221-0154.
And he's a great guy. I have to say it every time. I really like Luke on many levels, but he is great in the work that he does, and he's honest and a good person.
Yeah.
And we love to support local.
We sure do. The chat room is open, so if you'd like to jump in and chat with us, opinionate, whatever the case is. You'll have to get through Liam, though, and so keep it clean and keep it nice. That's at KCNR1460.com, and you can also give us a call at 530-605-4567. And we'd love to connect with you. We're at Tokens Radio Show on Twitter. That's at Tokens Radio Show on Twitter. So we got back. I did forget. We should tell you about what's going on with Bitcoin. Just earlier today, it looked like it had dropped down about 15,000, but right now it's at 16,244. Ethereum's at 1140. XRP is 36 cents, and XLM, Stellar, is just a little shy of 9 cents. So it's
buying
opportunities.
It is.
Not financial advice.
Very interesting times, which we are going to hit upon several things with that.
Right.
With what all's going on. But we're living in interesting times across the board. But this is really something that we got coming your way today.
So we're going to tell you all about our trip to Pacific Bitcoin, and of course we've got to talk about the news of the week, and that's the FTX debacle. But we're going to get to that in a little bit here. And right now, we're going to go into crypto speak, and you've got your playing cards there.
Yeah, you know what? So that was one thing that we got when we went to L.A. is we got Bitcoin cards, like Pokemon cards, you know? So instead of picking a crypto speak term or word this year, I just thought we'd pick a card.
Yes.
And let's just see what happens.
Did you shuffle them?
I did.
Okay. All
so,
right.
So, pick one.
Okay, let's see. What do we have here? Okay, there you go.
And let's see what Christy picked. What? Oh. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Oh. Well, there wasn't enough of that going around last week.
Okay, FUD. And what I think we've talked about this before is an acronym for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. FUD is propaganda tactic used to influence public perception by spreading negative or false information. This disinformation strategy can be used by marketing, sales, polling, and public relations to influence consumer perception of an asset or competitor's product by appealing to fear.
Yes. There's a sufficient amount of that going on right now.
Yes, there is. I mean, that was pretty appropriate.
Yes, it was.
So, yeah. Interesting how things like that work, you know?
Yeah. Now, from what I understand on these cards, and that's a great term and one we should always talk about. These cards, from what I understand, are in limited supply. And so they're going to be distributing these every year, and this was the inaugural one. So you want to keep those as pristine as possible because who knows?
Right. And I just...
They might be an NFT at some point.
And I just noticed that at the bottom, it actually has a quote on each card.
Oh, okay. What's that quote?
Uncertainty actually is the friend of the buyer of long-term values.
Huh.
By Warren Buffett.
Wow.
So there you go. Do what you want with that one.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Yeah.
A couple different things with that.
Yeah. So last weekend we were at Pacific Bitcoin, as we've mentioned, and it was a great trip. We flew out of Redding, smooth sailing down, smooth flying down to Los Angeles, and it was just a perfect trip all the way around. And the event was held at the Santa Monica Airport in a hangar called Barker Hangar, I believe.
I believe that's
And it was great. When we first walked in, Linda and I were talking to each other, gosh, is this all? It didn't seem like we expected something bigger because that's what you always hear and see from other events. But, you know, this was a Bitcoin event and Bitcoin only. And so there was none of the crypto bro thing going on.
No, there wasn't.
Like that. So as we got to appreciate the time and the discussions we had with people, I think we left feeling like it was just the perfect size.
It was. And what made it really nice, like you say, because of the size of it, we were able to talk to people that normally at a place like that you wouldn't be able to. I mean, even the influencers, they were very accessible to us.
Yes.
I mean, the whole thing was just, you know, hands-on, so to speak, which was really, really cool.
There was only a couple of people that had bodyguards. I mean, the rest
of them
were quite accessible, right?
which is understandable, the certain ones that had bodyguards,
when you're managing...
I'm Michael Saylor.
When you're managing that kind of a portfolio there for that company, you're going to have a bodyguard.
Yeah, but, you know, at the event, there was people from all walks of life, all different shapes, sizes, colors, whatever you want to say. But everybody was very nice. It's one of the few places, I have to say, I've been in the last, 10 years, where they had, you know, those trees you plug in your phone to charge.
Right, yes.
Remember?
Right.
And they had a little couch just sitting around there. But what struck both me and you, I think, was people were plugging in their cell phones into this tree thing. And they were walking away and leaving them.
Right. Yes.
And nobody bothered it.
Right.
Now, there's not too many places anymore that you, because I remember us looking at one another going, wow, really? He just plugged his phone in and walked away.
Yeah.
Everybody was very trustworthy. People weren't treading on people. There was no problems right. like that, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were all headliners, influencers that were there, all except one. I'd say most of the names that we're all familiar with was there, except for Jason Lowry, which I understand he was at Texas just a couple of days ago, but you never know, maybe next year.
Christy just really likes Jason.
I
hope at the next one that we'll talk about a little bit further in the show that he is able to make it. I just want to meet the man.
Yes.
And everything, but
he fascinates me. It's not like, you know, I really like him because I think he's hot or anything. That's not the thing.
Tell the truth.
I just think it's like, when you listen to him, it is such a deep conversation. It's like, you have to, I'm still appreciating where the mind of this man goes in terms of technical rabbit hole. Things I would never, ever dream or think about where he's talking about, you know, from how big our brains are to the proximal size of the rest of our bodies. I mean, all sorts of things and how somehow that relates to Bitcoin. It's amazing to me. He's a fascinating man.
I have to say, now that I'm back on Twitter, because I was off Twitter for a few years, and I see his tweets. Some of them I have to, like, read them, like, four or five times because my head is just skipping a beat there,
yeah.
You know, because he gets pretty in-depth on some of it.
Yeah, and he's bringing a different perspective of Bitcoin to the discussion, and I think this is why people appreciate him so much, because he is a member of the military. This is his assignment to be in a fellowship degree program at MIT so that he can speak to his superiors at the Pentagon about Bitcoin and hash rate superiority. And that is very significant. And that's why I'm so interested. It's being part of the class of 2020, so to speak, as you might. There are classes, guys, and we'll get to that in a minute. But being a class of 2020, it makes you think, wow, you know, when we first really got into this, it's a currency. No. So much more than that.
That is for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and it's great that somebody like that from MIT that is very intelligent.
Right.
Is speaking on behalf of Bitcoin and their take on it.
Right. Yeah.
And how, education.
And how what he calls is soft war. And isn't this interesting? We're on to Jason Lowry. He wasn't even there. But he talks about soft war. And rather than hard war, like where you're using kinetic energy and kinetic weapons, where he's using the term software to where our wars can be fought over hash rate domination and instead of wiping out all of society and all of mankind because of nuclear weapons, that this is a different way of approaching warfare. So it's just fascinating.
But back to Bitcoin, there was some great influencers. We mentioned it earlier. Michael Saylor was one.
Right.
Robert Breedlove was one.
I was just looking at Breedlove stuff here.
You know, they were all fantastic. There was people there that had written a book about Bitcoin.
Right.
That we were able to talk with and get a book and get it signed. It was just a really great event. And what was really nice, too, is each time the influencers spoke or whatever, they limited the time to about 35 minutes.
Right.
Which made it really nice to get an overall view of everything.
Especially with two stages, because you were able to leave one stage and then go out to a different stage and hear a different presentation. One of the things, you mentioned Robert Breedlove. He was very good, as all of them were. But the great Lynn Alden was there as well. And Lynn is also a very deep thinker. And here's the takeaway from that is here is a trained engineer. She runs her own financial analytical business. But what she talked about is that, hey, I don't know it all. We're all learning here. You know, this is
right.
A new industry. So when she puts out these remarkable articles or she has an interview, she does her research. She doesn't have all of the answers because she's just bestowed with all of that. She has some understanding. She said she's not a coder, but she has some understanding of coding. So when she's reading white papers and projects, she can literally pick up the phone and call the developers and ask the questions, hey, am I on the right track here?
Mm-hmm.
So that she can make her analysis and then do her report. And that was so refreshing. And we wanted to bring that message here because we know that you probably have questions and might be a little reluctant to pop them into the
right.
chat or pick up the phone and call. And the point of all of that is that we are all learning. And that's why you have events and why you have a show like ours and why there are influencers on YouTube and Rumble to learn from, because we are all learning together. It's a brand new technology and a new industry, and we're going to learn together, and all the greatest minds are working on this. So to come and find out that this is a person that still has to double-check herself with other people is so refreshing.
Yeah.
So we're all newbies. We're all becoming very, what would you say, progressive in our understanding.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought that up because we had talked about that, and That made it very nice that the level, it didn't really matter who you were or what
right.
background you had or whatever. As far as the level, we're all still learning.
Right.
So nobody looked down to anybody or anything like that.
Right.
Everybody was like, hey, we're all on the same field. We're all trying to accomplish the same goal, and it takes all of us to work together in order to get there.
Yes. And I think it's come quite clear, and Liam, you might have to buzz me here, I'm not quite sure, but it's Bitcoin, not shitcoin.
We can say that. Good.
Yes, because that is a term.
It really is a term,
it
folks.
It is a term, and it means that when you say a shitcoin, it means it's an alternative currency that could have been thought up in some sort of, maybe somebody got an idea in a Reddit thread or something like that and thought it was a great idea, and then they start writing some code and they come up with, they go and grab a copy of Bitcoin off of GitHub, and they've got the code because it's open source, and they start creating their own cryptocurrency. And as you will hear Michael Saylor say, is that this has been tried 20,000 times,
and
they
what?
Have all failed
yeah.
in some sort of way. So Bitcoin is not
currency.
Shitcoin. It is not. And it is not those. And what's happened this past week is just a clear, I'm going to say, dividing of the camps, where Bitcoiners are stepping away from the shitcoiners.
Yes, they are.
In a big way, because mm-hmm. This has been tarnished, tainted, and I think in some sort of ways by design for what happened, and I'm speaking about the FTX,
right.
Second
yes.
largest exchange that went and blew up from mismanagement and we'll talk about what was going on there.
A lot of other things but besides right. mismanagement, which
yeah.
we'll dive into, but yeah.
yeah. So that was an emphasis, is that Bitcoin is not shitcoins.
Right.
And
that's a good point,
right.
and we like to make that distinction for
right.
the listeners out there, is the cryptocurrency world can be different than Bitcoin.
It's completely different.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for so long, and we
right.
were victims. We
sure.
did it too in the beginning.
Sure.
We kind of wrapped it all into
yes,
one.
Yes, we did.
And it is not, and it is time to make the distinction
right.
and separate and either, like you say, be in the shitcoin world or the Bitcoin world, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Something else I wanted to point out is that we had a couple people locally that were there with
yeah.
us as well. We had folks from the Bitcoin Center. If you guys are listening, why don't you hit us up in the chat and say hello or call in the show and maybe might want to share a comment or two. But Jed and Lauren and I believe Elizabeth was there as well. And that was great running into them. And I just want to give a shout out to Jed and Lauren who were talking to all the vendors and telling them that they needed to talk to me and Linda.
Yeah.
Which was really
it was
cool.
great. They
well,
they were doing a lot
that.
Of PR and out there
yes,
and we really
were.
Appreciate your PR and for us. We did the same for you, but I have to say we got to put you at the top.
Yes.
You did it much more. You guys were, you were great.
Yes.
And still are great, but yeah, it was wonderful.
And these guys have a mission. I mean, they're movers and shakers and trying to make things happen here in this community to help spread adoption, spread education, the right kind of education, Bitcoin education.
Right. And again, they have a place right here, Bitcoin Center,
yes.
right here in Reading.
Right on Court Street.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you may want to check them out. They also have a meeting once a month, and I think in December it's going to be the third Tuesday of the month.
Yes, at Fratelli's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just to throw it out there in case, you know, you want to get plugged in or you know somebody, grab a friend. You know, it starts at 6 o'clock.
Right.
It's very laid back, very casual, and you don't have to say a word if you don't want to.
Right. And they're also helping Chico area. Get their meetups going as well. So one other thing I want to say here before we get to the break is a huge takeaway. So you might be listening to the show. You might be talking with us off air. We have these conversations with a lot of people. And they're, you know, maybe you're on what's called a no-coiner, want to be a coiner. Maybe you have some Satoshis. But where do you go from there? We just want to emphasize is if you're thinking about getting started, is you want to point towards Bitcoin. Don't look anywhere else. Yeah, you might have an opportunity to jump in and make a quick buck, but your chances of losing that buck is even greater without jumping into something that has been battle-tested as Bitcoin. And, yeah, it's not as sexy, doesn't move as fast, but I got to tell you, it's a lot safer.
Right.
Lot safer. And, yes, it's still somewhat speculative, and the reasons are because the markets are so speculative right now. There are investors that have to cover short positions, and they might have bought in the Bitcoin, and they're selling it right now. It's not that Bitcoin is bad. It's just getting wrapped up with the market conditions, and that's the way it is.
And like we're going to talk about in a little bit, you can't mix it with FTX and stuff.
No.
You know.
They're FTT coin. Nope.
Yeah. And I understand that's hard, and maybe you don't have the level of knowledge about the separation, but hopefully we'll be able to teach you that. But there is a big difference between Bitcoin and the other ones, and you're more safe, like you say, with the Bitcoin. And I mean, no matter what you invest in, you're going to have some risk in it. But thank goodness you're not going to have as much with Bitcoin as you are the other ones.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're thinking about getting started, like we always say, we feel like a simple place and safe place to start is with Swan Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And you can always use our link at swanbitcoin.com /tokens radio show. So I think we're getting ready for a break, aren't we?
I think we're about to the break
time, Liam.
And then
we're getting a head shake, yes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. We'll take a break and we'll continue this conversation. Actually, I think we may take a dive into FTX since that's so hot in the world right now. You've been listening to Tokens Radio Show on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. And we'll see you in 3 minutes.
Time to celebrate the season, haven't eaten all day. My tummy is growling cause I've been saving up faith. I've got
got my place at the table, can't fit no more on my plate. I've got my fork in my hand, ready to stuff my face. So bring on the turkey, potatoes, casserole dishes, 'cause I ain't messing.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearm Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Tokens Radio Show.
The new 32 Below ice cream shop realizes that ice cream is more than just ice cream. Remember when you got good grades and mom would say, "All right, we're going to ice cream." Remember when the team won? It was like, "We're all going to ice cream." How about an ice cream date with the one you love? Yeah, ice cream is definitely more than just ice cream. It's a celebration. But guess what? You don't need a reason to go out for ice cream. You just need a cool place that's open every day of the week. That place is 32 Below Ice Cream Shop on Caterpillar Road, right next to Dill's Deli. 24 flavors of ice cream, shakes, malts, or soda floats, cookie sundaes, brownie sundaes, or the classic banana split. At 32 Below Ice Cream Shop, we believe life is a celebration, and anytime is a good time for ice cream. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop at 5136 Caterpillar Road next to Dill's Deli. Open Monday through Saturday, noon to 9, Sunday, noon to 7. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop. Anytime is a good time for ice cream.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
There are so many songs about Christmas. The reindeer, the lights, and the gifts.
We sing chestnuts are roasting and marshmallows toasting, and here comes old jolly Saint Nick. Now don't get me wrong, I sure love all those songs, but one holiday gets left out. You see, no one remembers a song for November, but that's gonna change starting now. Gobble, gobble one, gobble, gobble two, gobble, gobble me, gobble, gobble you. Listen to me now. Gobble, gobble three, gobble, gobble four, gobble, gobble please, can I have some more? Eat a dozen dinner rolls. Stretchy pants on, that's how I roll. No judgment here, no judgment here. Grandpa's passed out, passing gas, but we got pumpkin candles burning just for that. Someone brought up politics, now everybody's mad. But you can't be mad when the whole world's singing. Gobble, gobble one, gobble, gobble two. Come on, gobble, gobble
me. And welcome gobble, back. Gobble. I hope you enjoyed those last couple songs. It is almost Thanksgiving, and we thought we'd throw some songs out there for you about Thanksgiving.
Hey, I think the theme is stretchy pants.
I can't help it. You know, do you have your stretchy pants on?
Yes,
but
indeed.
Welcome back. And if you want to call in, give us a call, 530-605-4567. And I guess now we're going to have a conversation about FTX, because that thing has exploded. You know, it is even made mainstream media to a certain point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's huge.
It is. It's as big as Lehman. It may even be bigger than that. And joking aside, this is no joke. This is extremely serious,
mm-hmm.
and can have severe impact on our economy. Just like I said, with Lehman was huge in 2008. This is going to prove out to be huge too, as institutions have to move their money around and fix their shorts and their balance sheets. This is big. So,
right. And like we talked before, this is where the division is made.
Right.
This FTX is cryptocurrency. It is not a Bitcoin. It is a security. It is not a commodity.
Well, FTX was an exchange. Their coin was FTT,
right.
To be specific. But their crypto exchange, they also handled Bitcoin as well.
Right.
But it was a crypto
exchange. I should have clarified that.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Just so that we don't confuse anybody. But, you know, I think we have something to tee it up.
Okay, let's do that.
Should we play cut one?
Now, the cryptocurrency market has gone crazy with FTX blowing up the entire ecosystem this past week. And the amount of information exposing the negligence and the fraud around Sam Bankman-Fried, or SBF as he's known, and FTX and Alameda is almost never ending.
And that is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to cut it off there because there's much more sizzling information there that has not been corroborated, but they only speculate it. So we just cut that off there. And one other comment that was a cut by Mark Moss, but he also made another comment that will help tee up this whole conversation that perhaps we ought to listen to. And we'll go with that now. Cut two.
I believe what comes next is a massive cryptocurrency crackdown. Massive. We're going to see Elizabeth Warren already shouting from the rooftops, we need more regulations. We're going to see Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Everybody is going to be demanding regulations to protect customers. Now, what would be a good start is if the Democratic Party would give back the $40 million they just got. That would be a right step, but of course they won't do that.
Ooh. Imagine that. You know,
nothing to see there.
Right. And that's one part, if you've been following this or reading headlines, that's one piece that doesn't get brought up a whole lot is the $40 million for the Democratic Party. So it's just interesting factoid there.
Well, when Linda and I were preparing for the show a couple of days ago, we were sorting through like 27 articles.
Easy.
And, I mean, it's just been day after day, something new, a new twist, more disgust, more anger, more frustration. So we pretty much left it down to a couple articles that mm-hmm. we think do a pretty good job of helping to organize this. And certainly helped us, and hopefully we will be able to convey what really happened here. And the Gateway Pundit also put this in a very succinct fashion, too. So how'd this start?
Well, yeah, it started, was there six of them?
Well,
basically.
It started a little bit farther back with CZ from Binance. And Binance, the CEO of Binance, we'll just call him CZ. He had overheard some information, and he was concerned about their holdings of FTT tokens, and he was looking at liquidating them. And I guess that caused some friction between him and Sam Bankman-Fried, and it seems to be that the rumors that CZ had heard, and it may not have been rumors, it just may have been factual, but right. We're hearing it as rumors, that he had offered to buy FTX, or a large position of it, but then he elected not to. FTX was going up in flames when all of this happened. And so when Binance did not follow through with the offer to purchase, mm-hmm. FTX blew up. They had shorted so many positions and overextended themselves that it's to the likes of where you have experienced investors like Kevin O'Leary, you know, the Shark Tank guy.
Right.
Who loved SBF, and that's Sam Bankman-Fried. We'll just refer to him as SBF. And just loved him, and he was duped. So when you think about the level of fraud that was committed here, and the experience level coming in to the FTX world, and how these people, I mean, Scaramucci.
Yeah, there was a lot. Guy. Yeah, there was big players that were involved in this.
With and Silvergate,
when I say involved, they invested into this company without any homework, really.
Well, they did homework, but it was based on what SBF told them.
Okay.
He did a lot of convincing and salesmanship. He knew what to say, how to say it. He knew the buzzwords because he had an inside track to that world. That world of movers and shakers.
Right.
When Mark Moss talked about the $40 million contribution, SBF, I believe, was second to George Soros in terms of the amount
of
monies that were given to Democratic campaigns, and yet nobody's given that money back. Well, without, I think a couple have, but it's also correct to hear, you know, the likes of Liz Warren and Janet Yellen, but you know what? Sam Bankman-Fried had their attention all along, as well as Maxine Waters. I mean, you see SBF have his arm around Maxine Waters.
Right.
And her committee is now investigating this.
Nothing here. Yeah, again, they never even questioned it, really. They never looked into it. And this basically was six people.
Yeah. Maybe
in the Bahamas, maybe a couple other ones, but they were young kids.
Right.
So to speak, that were, for the lack of better terms, playing house with one another, everybody all involved.
Yes, and more than one, more than just work.
Yes, they weren't doing much work, but it was down in the Bahamas.
Right.
They never even set up a bank account.
Right.
Yeah. When they started, during the whole time, which I find very interesting that nobody picked up on this until it exploded.
Right. And the CEO, Alameda Research, which is the sister company to FTX.
Yeah.
This was a company, it was a research company, and then FTX followed later, and it seems as though they were siphoning funds, you know, back and forth between the two. The CEO of that company, a young lady, she's 28 years old, not a professionally trained in this area of finance, and she was quoted saying, "I just use basic math. We don't do cost overrun studies, that type of thing." And it was just basic math for these guys.
Yeah.
But the Ponzi scheme that they created was probably to the likes of a Bernie Madoff, if not greater than
If not greater than that, yeah.
Because what made Bernie Madoff get away with what he got away with for 16 years is that he was in the regulatory space himself. So he was in positions where he was regulating himself, so to speak.
Well, it's almost what we got going here, folks. It's pretty close.
That's the point I was trying to make here, is that that's exactly where it was going. SBF was shaping the conversation for where regulation should go.
Right. And you mentioned Alameda.
Yes.
And SBF. Mm-hmm. I could say a lot. Anyway, at one point he says, well, he didn't realize it was a mistake that 8 billion or million got put over into Alameda. Mm-hmm. It was just a mistake. Yeah. He didn't realize that happened, that the funds had been transferred over into Alameda.
There are things like, Trump won't win fund, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. That were on their spreadsheet. It wasn't in their books. It was on an Excel spreadsheet, which was their books. But why don't we just relay the excerpt by the CEO that stepped in to do the restructuring for the Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing.
Yeah, that's trying to clean it up.
Yes. And this is the gentleman that cleaned up Enron. Do we all remember Enron? If you're in California and all of the rolling blackouts that we had, yes, thank you to Enron. And, we're going to have some issues here, too. Do you want to take this, Linda, or you want me to do it?
I can do it. So one of the first things he said was, I have over 40 years of legal and reconstructing experiences. I have been the chief restructuring officer of chief executive officer in several of the largest corporate failures in history. Mm-hmm. I have supervised situations involving allegations of criminal activity and malfeasance, meaning Enron. I have supervised situations involving novel financial structures, Enron, and residential capital, and cross-border asset recovery and maximizations. Nearly every situation in which I have been involved has been characterized by defects of some sort, internal controls, regulatory compliance, human resource, and systems integrity.
Mm-hmm. That just tees it up.
So then he goes on to say, never in my career have I seen such a complete failure of corporate controls and such a complete absence of trustworthy financial information that has occurred here.
Yeah.
That's a big statement right there.
It is. And then they had various silos to where funds were moving to. They had four large silos, and they were controlled by SBF, and they were held by various people who mm-hmm. were co-founders in the organization as well. So they were siloing money between themselves. They were buying, as we were talking off air too, these people within the FTX ecosystem, the very top of the top, excuse me, were even buying homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were buying other things.
Out of FTX funds, not from wages, just FTX was buying these homes. And that's just really disgusting.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing what they were accomplishing and doing.
Yeah.
At a very rapid pace, actually.
They were coming across as the saviors. They mm-hmm. came in to save Celsius. They came in to save Three Arrows Capital. And really, they were basically manufacturing their own token, their shitcoin, FTT.
Right. Meanwhile, they were taking the money, and if you trace it, they were shipping it over to Ukraine.
Yes, that was huge.
Yes.
What we call that money laundering?
And then that money was going from there to the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Yes, can you say
that's
money laundering?
That's not speculation. That's
no, that is hard facts
yes.
on that. And so, it's just crazy that nobody was paying any attention to what they were doing with these funds at all.
They had a lack of cash management. Their cash management procedures, they didn't really have any. They didn't have an accurate list of bank accounts, if they had any, or the account signatories. So who knows what was going on with who could sign on accounts and whatnot. And there was insufficient attention to their creditworthiness of banking partners around the world. So the people they're getting into business with really didn't have this information.
No, and I don't know if they could get the information or even tried to be honest about it. Again, like you say, he came in like the savior. Everybody kind of jumped on board. Everybody was happy. Everything was looking good. You know, he was like going to be the big one and everything was going to be okay with this, you know, and the regulations would come down to what needed to be done to save everybody. Well, it didn't quite work that way.
Well, you know, Scaramucci, I was listening to a Twitter Spaces the other day, and he was in the space, and he was being questioned by Kim.com and some of the other players that are in this particular space every day. And Scaramucci came across, he goes, I got to tell you, I liked SBF. He goes, I probably let my guard down a little bit. Because I liked him. I liked what he had to say. I really believed in what he said. He goes, we did our due diligence as a company from what was provided to us. But, you know, the kid came across as being very likable.
Right.
And, you know, in this interview that SBF did, when he was coming out and saying, gee, I'm really sorry, he was also admitted that he played the regulators.
Well, I think that was, it might have been some of the goal all along.
Right.
But I think he was hoping that would happen before it, well, he probably didn't think it was going to explode, but before anything really caught up to him.
Yeah. And he basically admitted, it was in a Vox interview, and he admitted to where he basically was saying what he had to say to the regulators to pretty much get mm-hmm. what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he also came across and basically said, you know, the F word, regulators. So that was his real opinion about regulators. Oh, and I must say, as I have a thought bubble pop into my head, is his parents.
Oh, the connection of his parents and
yes.
and Alameda, the girl, I can't think of her name, her parents, there was all a connection between all
with
of them.
With Gary Gensler, I believe.
I believe
something
so.
To do, not directly with Gensler, maybe somebody who worked with Gensler, but the parents, the father is a professor in international taxation, I believe, and the mother... she works in, she's also a professor, I believe.
Yes, she was too. I was saying if I could pull
she has
it
a lot
up.
Of connections in Washington, D.C. So, it just seemed like this was a very cozy relationship
yes.
here with this. I mean,
kind of sounds familiar to a couple other things we've been through in
yeah,
the last
it's,
few years.
It's even more disgusting than the Bernie Madoff thing. At least, you know, they weren't all shacking up together in a penthouse and in a big penthouse mansion that they had in the Bahamas. So, you know, what you're going to need to do, let's hit a couple of these factoids. Say they laundered money. All that money's gone. FTX is bankrupt. They funded congressional campaigns overseeing the Commodity Futures and Trading Commission. Let's see.
They're under investigation. The investigation was opened, and
SBF?
SBF. Mm-hmm. Allegedly moved $10 billion of assets to FTX.
Yeah, to his trading, from FTX, to his trading firm.
Yeah.
And then because of liquidity caused the company to file bankruptcy. And we know about the Ukraine connection.
And then we know about the $40 million, like Mark Moss says, is he going to give it back? Is anybody going to give that money back?
Now, if we go back to the Ukraine thing, if we all recall where Ukraine was getting donations to help fund their war, and FTX was a big player in that. So about a week after Ukraine gathered the cryptocurrency donations, FTX engaged with Ukraine. So it was very interesting. I saw a meme where it showed a washing machine and it showed FTX funds going in, and the machine was Ukraine, and out the back end it went to the campaigns.
that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, Ukraine got like $60 million in cryptocurrency donations.
Well, yeah, not only from FTX, but from others.
Right, from other ones, yeah. Right. Exactly.
And that was from the, what do you call it, the Gateway Pundit. They relied heavily on the Ukraine connection.
And you were right. Bankman-Fried was the second donor to the Democratic Party. Of course, George Soros was in number one.
Right.
And again, we're, like you say, we're back into the laundering circle, the money laundering. So let me get this straight, like with Ukraine. So we sent our own money over there. They were sending FTX funds over there, and then it was coming through the back door to fund the Democratic Party. It didn't go for what it was supposed to be for.
Well, oh my gosh, we're coming up to the end of the hour here. But what we wanted to, we had another cut, and we're not going to have time to play it. But what we want to say is that this is a black eye on the industry. But don't lose hope, because it's going to all shake out, and it could have been by design. We're going to learn more about that. But just remember that Bitcoin is the safe place to be. Crypto is another place. Yeah. So we want to leave it with that.
Right. And real quick, we want to mention
The
early bird ticketing for Pacific Bitcoin 2023, what we just did. It's in L.A. So you go to PacificBitcoin2023.com.
And these are like rock bottom prices. General admission is $249. They won't be at this price very long. They will go up. They'll go up to $600, $700, $800. So, and that's just for general admission. So, you go to the website, get your ticket, and they're refundable up to July 1st. Yeah. So if you're not sure if you can go, get your ticket
and grab a friend and head to LA.
Exactly.
And have a good time.
Yeah.
And we'll see you there maybe. But with that, I think we're at the end of the show. We'll play our quote.
And we're going to be off next week, but we're going to have a recorded show. It's going to be Michael Saylor.
Right. And with that, happy Thanksgiving, and everybody be safe.
All right. Take care.
And as a great man once said, the government which governs best governs least. So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world, this is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property in your money, and that's it.
Now climb aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty of room for all.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. A Bitcoin as you're going into the old blockchain.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.